John chapter number 1. Anybody else have the thunder alarm clock going off all night? Amen. Sister Debbie had her dog going off all night probably with the alarm clock. Yeah, we know how that goes. Seen that before. But by the grace of God, I'll bring a message out of John chapter 1, and I'm sure as tired as I am, I'll forget half of it, so we'll finish that up next week if I do. But John chapter number 1, we'll look at the Word of God and see what He has for us today, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I want to look for a little while this morning at, I guess what I'd title, From Start to Finish. From Start to Finish. And if we look at this verse, verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we jump over to verse number 14, and it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We can see that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is God. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So we understand that Jesus Christ is God, and when God created the heaven and the earth, Jesus Christ is the Creator. God created the heaven and the earth. He did it with His Word. He did it by His Word. So Jesus Christ is the beginning. And for those that are lost, Jesus Christ will be the end. He is the Word of God. He is the power of God. And He's the glory of God. He is the glory of God. So, "Well, I want to glorify the Lord." Well, you need to learn how to walk with Jesus Christ. I'm so sick of this stuff that's going on in the world today. I'm sick of me, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm sick of this flesh. But I'm so sick of this stuff that's going on in the world. They try to pawn off and blame on God and give credit to the Holy Spirit when it's wickedness and trying to turn the church into the world and say, "Well, this is what God wants. And, you know, that old stuff was good for the old days, but this new stuff, that's what we do today. We just, we're trying to get to God different ways and all this junk." And what they're doing is they're having a big flesh fest trying to please the flesh. And the truth is, it's not about pleasing the flesh. It's about pleasing the Lord. It's about the opposite of pleasing the flesh. Because if you're pleasing the Lord, the flesh isn't going to be happy with it. But if you want to glorify God, you're going to do it His way. God is a spirit. If you're going to worship Him, you're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the biggest thing that really makes me sick and irks me in my soul, if you will, is the fact that they've thrown the truth out. They've thrown the truth out. The Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And when you throw the real Bible out, you're throwing Jesus Christ out with it. Amen. You say, "Well, He meets with some of the people too." Yeah, he does, but how are you going to be sure you got the right Jesus if you got the wrong book? "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There are people running around don't understand what freedom is because they don't have the right book. And there are people running around don't understand what freedom is because they have the right book. They don't rightly divide it. there are people around, they don't understand what true freedom and true liberty is. You know, you talk about the Constitution, you talk about Biden, you talk about Trump, you talk about slavery, you talk about women's rights, you talk about everybody's got a right but Jesus Christ, right? You talk about all this stuff, you know, and you talk about everybody wants to talk about liberty and truth. You get at election time, boy, and everybody's got their don't tread on me stuff, and, you know, Second Amendment stickers coming out, and, you know, Trump 2024, Trump 2028, Trump 30. I hope we're not here in 2024, amen. But the thing is, everybody's so excited about their liberties, and boy, I got the right to bear arms and all this stuff. What about the rights Jesus Christ has? If you're saved, if you're blood-bought, born again, he has the right to indwell you and dwell within you and without you and through you. Amen? You say, well, we just want to have a Christian rock concert, and we just want to throw the Bible out, and we just want to worship the way we want to worship, and we want to be more like the ecumenical folks, so we can get along with the Muslims, and we can get along with the Catholics, and we get along with the people that are going the wrong direction. Can't we just all get along, you know, all these inclusive bumper stickers and all this junk, and you steal God's rainbow and try to make it look like perverts are right and God's wrong, and the truth is God's always right. Amen. You want to glorify God? Get in the book and live by the book. You want to glorify God? Crucify the flesh. Amen. Crucify the flesh. Get your spiritual hammer and nails out every morning and say, I'm putting me on the cross, Lord, I belong to you. And I want to please you. I want to start my day for you. I want to finish my day for you from start to finish. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. In verse number 9 it says, for we are laborers together with God. Are you? Are you a laborer with God? Or are you laboring against God? Think about it. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He's the foundation. So what's that mean? What it means is, he's talking here about, he's getting ready to talk about the judgment seat of Christ. He's getting ready to talk about your works. So the foundation of everything, Jesus Christ is the foundation of, get this, Jesus Christ is the foundation of everything that pleases God the Father. He is the foundation of everything that pleases God the Father. If he is not the foundation of it, it is not pleasing to God the Father. So all these people running around there that don't know Jesus Christ, they don't have a clue what salvation is. They're not blood-bought, born again. They're not pleasing God the Father. I don't care what they're doing with their money. I don't care what they're doing to help their neighbor. It's not pleasing God the Father unless it's built on Jesus Christ. He's the beginning. He's the beginning. He's the foundation. You know, we hear people talk about building projects all the time, and you build a house, you build a building. You want to build it on the right foundation. You want to build it on a firm footing. You don't want to build it on sinking sand. All this religion is sinking sand. You talk about sinking, these people are going to sink straight into hell when they die if they don't make Jesus Christ the foundation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sinners need to get saved and let Jesus Christ be their foundation for everything. For everything. You say, well, I'm saved. You know, and praise the Lord for salvation. He should be the foundation of your future. Amen. If you're saved, he's the foundation of your eternity. But he should be the foundation of your future. He should be not only the foundation of your salvation, but the foundation of your relationships, the foundation of your career, the foundation of job, career, whatever you want to call it, the foundation of your family, the foundation of your walk, the foundation of your daily walk should be Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I know one of these days I'll draw my last breath, or he'll call us out of here. Either way, we're getting out of here. And I'm glad I'll be with him forever because of what he's done for me on Calvary, and the fact that I realized that I was wicked, couldn't do anything to earn it, trusted the finished work of Christ, called on him, said, Lord, I'm just trusting you. Take me to heaven one day. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm with Brother Earl. You said, behold, I come quickly. It don't seem that quick. Come get us, man. Praise the Lord. But a day is like a thousand years like a day. The Lord, he's coming quickly, and he could come very quickly. Might not even finish this message. Some of y'all might be praying that way. I don't know. Amen. Let's get this preacher off of here and get him down here and let's just get out of here. Amen. I feel the same way. I'm not taking it personal. But he should be the foundation of your future. If you're here today and you're lost, you're on your way to hell, he's going to be the finish. From start to finish. Everything in your life, if you're born again, everything in your life should start with Jesus Christ. Every day of your life should start with Jesus Christ. So I just, you don't understand, I get up, I go to work early, and I do this early, I got to eat breakfast, I got to do that, I got to take, you're listening to all the things you got to do for the flesh, but what about the Lord? So I just don't have time in the morning. Well, how about praying before you get out of bed? Sometimes you pray, you can get out of bed, amen? Yeah. Amen. Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. You got a knee that's going one way and an ankle's going the other. At 6 o'clock in the morning, you got to run, amen? And it just don't work out the way you want it to work out. But Jesus is the foundation. I mean, you know, I ain't got time. Well, he had time to go to Calvary. Amen. Can't call out to him from your bed. Amen. Can't take a 5-minute intercession. Maybe don't shave one day for work. Amen. Maybe go in there and read your Bible if you're late. Amen. So well, I don't have 5 minutes to read a verse of Bible, but you got 20 minutes to shave and do your hair. See, the flesh is more important to us a lot of times. And what other people think of us. Spend 25 minutes trimming your nose hairs, men. Amen. Men over 40. Men over 50, you're trimming your ears and your nose. Amen. Some of y'all are just looking like cats with whiskers sticking out all over, going, what's he talking about? Amen. But the truth is, you got time. We got time. We make time for this flesh. We make time to try to make this wicked flesh presentable so the rest of the world can look at us and go, hey, they're a decent person. But you're not a decent person in the Lord's eyes if your foundation isn't Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He's the foundation of salvation. He should be the foundation of every relationship. I'll take that so far as to say that if you're in a business with somebody and you're starting a business, I'm not talking about working for somebody. You got to work for somebody. And there are a lot of lost people out there that have jobs to give to people and save people work, be a good example, could reach lost people that way and all that stuff. But if you have your own business, you're going to yoke up with somebody else in business, you better make sure they're on the right page with you spiritually. So we're not talking about spiritual things. We're talking about carnal things. If you're saved, everything ought to have a spiritual element. Jesus Christ should be the foundation of everything. Foundation of relationships. Say, you know, husbands and wives, that's immediately what people think. Foundation of relationships, husband and wife. No, it ought to be a foundation of relationship with your kids. Your spouse, your kids, your relatives. Amen. Even the relatives who don't like Jesus Christ, don't read the Bible, Jesus Christ should still be your foundation. Well, we just don't talk about religion and politics. Well, I don't want to go over there then. I might want to praise the Lord. And if I want to praise the Lord and they're going to get upset about it, I'll stay home. Amen. Mail them a track. But Jesus Christ should be the foundation. I think you ought to witness to your family members. Don't get me wrong. If they're lost and if they're living like the devil, you ought to try to help them out there and pray for them and point them to the Bible and tell them to get right and all that stuff. But the foundation of everything in your life, the foundation of your future, the foundation of everything from this point forward should be Jesus Christ. You want to see God do something? Make Jesus Christ the foundation of every decision you make. Amen. Amen. He should be the foundation of your future. He should be the foundation of your fortune. And Joel Osteen tuned in. Right? He just tuned in. He said, I can't wait to hear this music. Or this message and the music they got, because this is great, because it's the foundation of your fortune. I get another jet, he says. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. Go back to the context. The context in chapter number 3 of 1 Corinthians was the judgment seat of Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he's talking about works that were built on Jesus Christ. And the works that you do that aren't built in Jesus Christ, the works that he's not the foundation of, will not make it through the fire. It won't make it. So he should be the foundation of your fortune. The foundation of your fortune. You know, the most wealthy people in the world are people that love Jesus Christ, even if they have nothing. Spiritually speaking, they have everything. Amen? You look at a man or a woman or a group of people and you say, well, they've got all this stuff. You know, I was at Meijer over in Richmond the other day and a Lamborghini or something pulls in there. You don't see those too often around here. This is in California, so you don't see that stuff when he pulls in there. The Pinto wagon wants to pull in and race him or something, you know. But here comes a Lamborghini, you know, and he comes in there and he's probably got it made. Boy, the world will look at him. And there's cart pushers out there probably looking at him thinking, man, that guy's got it made. I want to be like him. Who wants to be like Jesus anymore? He's supposed to be the foundation. I mean, the problem is saved people would rather be like the guy in the Lamborghini than the guy that went to the cross. They'd like to know how he made his fortune. That's more important to the people of the world and most church people anymore. How somebody made their fortune and had all this carnal worldly stuff is more important to them than what's in the Word of God. You're drawing your last breath, that Lamborghini's not going to buy you anything. Amen. Listen to the excuses. They bought the Lamborghini. They're saved. They got the Lamborghini. They go to the Lamborghini Club with Jesus Saves on their bumper. All right, praise the Lord. But the truth is, people don't care about Jesus Christ. They care about the flesh. And a lot of born-again believers do this well to make him the foundation of everything. You know what? You don't even have to make him. He wants to be. Just let him be the foundation of everything. He should be the foundation of your future. He should be the foundation of your fortune. Talking about rewards laid up in heaven. Wouldn't it be sad? And I think there's going to be some big surprises. I know there will be. Individually, we're going to get some surprises of our own. But there are going to be some big surprises. And there are going to be those big names out there that everybody just bows down to and worships, and they got all the money and all the stuff. And I'm not, I don't care if they, I didn't want the money. I never asked God for all the money anyway. I got my own problems. I don't need the money too. Amen. Just give me enough to keep going. Amen. And even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. But I think we're going to be a surprise. These people, big names in the TV celebrity preachers and all this stuff out there. And at the judgment seat of Christ, I think it's going to be a big surprise. Remember what he told Lazarus and the rich man? He told the rich man, you had yours on earth. Lazarus had nothing. Isn't that paraphrased, but that's what he told him. But you know what Lazarus had for eternity? He had everything. And the rich man had nothing except an eternity in flames. So, boy, I hope, people say, boy, I hope Biden gets out and Trump gets in. I hope the Lord comes back.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, what are we, $40 trillion in debt? Not we. This is not my problem. I'm just passing through this dump, man. This ain't my home. What are they? $40 trillion in debt? I know we're going to pay for it eventually if not ever pay it off, but we're the ones that are expected to pay the bill. Oh, $40 trillion in debt, give Trump 4 years, see what he can do with that. Give him 40 years, see what he can do with that. Give Jesus 1 second, he can fix everything. Amen? Oh, Trump. Oh, Jesus trumps Trump, how about that? Amen? I'm not against having a president that at least mentions God. Amen? It's not a cuss word. Amen. But you know what's wrong with this country? Jesus Christ is not the foundation. This book is not the foundation. So what happened? Well, they tore the foundation out. They decided to tear the foundation out and rebuild on sand. Amen. I've seen sand that was red and blue, so don't get too excited about your side. Amen. Most of it's so mixed up it's pink now anyway. You can't tell one side from the other. But you give Trump 150 years, he couldn't fix this mess. The Lord's going to fix it like that. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ should be the foundation of your future. He should be the foundation of your fortune. Foundation of your faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm not all millennialist, and I'm not a post-millennialist. I'm a premillennialist. We're turning this place into a giant hog pen, and the Lord's going to come back and fix it. That's the truth. That's the truth. And all these people that say we're getting better and better and got this evolutionary mindset with their theology that things are getting better and better and better, and man's the answer of all things, and everything's just going to be fixed by man. Man caused this mess. That's like taking a bulldozer and tearing a house down with it, saying, now I'm going to take that same thing and build it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You don't build a house with a bulldozer, you tear it down. You don't straighten things out with men, you make it worse.
Yeah.
the best man has to offer doesn't even come close to what Jesus Christ has offered and given us and can do. Amen? I've seen, you can look at history and you can find men that tried to rule and would have ruled for 1,000 years if they could have with a rod of iron. But they were men and they were ruling unjustly. They were wicked. But Jesus Christ, the foundation, he's going to come back and he's going to rule and reign perfectly for 1,000 years with a rod of iron on the throne of David. And there's going to be something happens on this earth that never happened before. Absolute perfect justice. Absolute perfect justice. Absolute. And holiness. He's not going to be wearing a funny-looking fish hat, and he's not going to be wearing a funny-looking dress and calling himself a father. He's going to come back and be God Almighty sitting on the throne of David. Amen. And if he blesses somebody, they'll be blessed. You want to do a fun study that'll just blow your mind. Look at the history of the people the Pope's blessed and what happened to them afterwards. Cities burning down, people getting murdered after he blessed them and stuff like that. You know why? Because he's an imperfect man that needs Jesus Christ. His foundation is not Jesus Christ. So, well, that's the Roman Catholics for you. No, nobody's foundation hardly anymore is Jesus Christ. Most of the people in the world have left Jesus Christ. He should be your foundation. If you're saved, he's your foundation. He wants to be the foundation for your future decisions. He wants to be the foundation for your fortune in heaven. He wants to be the foundation of your faith. I was listening to a message. Some of the best messages I ever heard preached were by Jack Hiles. Love him or hate him, that guy was a preacher. He really was a good man of God. Love the Lord. You don't have to agree with everything that everybody does. You just have to listen to what God's using them for. One of the best messages I've heard, I listened to the other day about walking through the storm. Not running from it, but going straight through it. Good night, man. That was a powerful message. I mean, a powerful message. We're living in a storm. Spiritually speaking, we're living in a storm. I mean, this is hurricane hell. Amen? And you can't outrun it. You know what he said? He remembered traveling. I think he was in Indiana or Ohio, and he was traveling back over the other side of Indiana, and he got into this snowstorm, and he said it was so bad he couldn't see the end of the hood of his car. He didn't know the mile markers or anything, and he drove and drove and drove, and he was headed to Kankakee, Illinois, or something next, and he drove and drove and drove. He said he didn't know what he was. Said the highway signs were covered up, and the lines on the road was pretty much gone. He was just God driving by faith, you know, amen? And he said he couldn't see anything, and didn't know whether he was headed to Texas or Canada or where he was headed. All he knew is he was headed somewhere. And he said about 2 hours, he just stayed going the same, what he thought was the same direction, couldn't tell where he was at, no signs, no nothing. And he said finally, he come through that storm, and there was a sign that said Kankakee, so many miles. He said, because of the end of the tunnel is a light. And that light's your foundation. It's Jesus Christ. He talked about another time. I'm going to steal these from Jack because he don't mind. Preacher told me one time if they were any good, they weren't mine anyway. They belonged to the Lord. So I'm going to borrow them from Jack. Then I won't steal them. I'll give them back to him. Amen. But he was talking about he was driving somewhere, and I don't remember if it was Indiana. Pretty sure it was Indiana. And he was headed back over to church over there in the other side of Indiana, and he's talking about the dark cloud moved in. It was so dark, and he said, I was scared. He said, I've never seen nothing like it. He said, in this tornado, he said, the first time I've seen a tornado up close, he said, that thing come down there and just flipped this trailer house over. And he said, I had one of three choices. He said, I could stop and wait for it. I could turn around and try to outrun it. Or I could head right into it. He said, I had to make the decision quick, and I figured real quick that if I headed right into it, it's going one way and I'm going the other, I'm going to get through it faster. And he said he made it through it. But we're living in a storm. And the foundation, your foundation, hey, look, we know these, nothing against anybody for where they live. You live where you live, praise the Lord. If you live in a trailer and you love the Lord, or if you live in a mansion and you love the Lord, praise the Lord. But we know that tornadoes and storms are notorious for destroying trailers. You know what's wrong with them? They don't have a good foundation. Storms destroy Christians because they don't have a good foundation. Amen. Jesus Christ has to be the foundation of your faith. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So I don't care what Bible I use. I just use whatever. No, I want the one that's closest to Jesus Christ. I want the one He uses. Amen. I got the one He uses. Amen. But you know what I know? I know that I'm saved. I know whom I believe. I know that no man's going to pluck me out of the Father's hand. I know that one day I'm going to be with Him forever. He's my foundation. Is He my foundation for every decision I ever make? I'm just like you. I mess up. I go ahead of the Lord. I get behind the Lord. I get confused on things sometimes. I make the wrong decision. But ultimately, He should be the foundation of everything. Thank God He's the foundation of our salvation. We don't have to worry about sinking into hell one day because we're on the foundation, we're on the rock. The foundation of your future, the foundation of your fortune, the foundation of your faith. So I want to please the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews that without faith it's impossible to please Him. So I'm going to please the Lord. I hear that all the time. I say, hey, how many times you read through your Bible? Zero. Take 3 days to find Ezekiel with using the index. Amen? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and you want to please God, and without faith it's impossible to please Him, you have to read your Bible. I'll take it a step further. From the Bible, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, or rightly dividing the word of truth. You don't want to be ashamed in front of God, rightly divide the book. You know why some people are going to be ashamed? Because they're going to tell people lies. Preachers, too. Preachers will tell people lies. And they say, well, you know, see right here, you can lose it. You can lose your salvation. And some people are going to go, wow, I lost it. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to quit. See what the storm was? The storm was started by the preacher. Because the preacher says you can lose your salvation. And that storm takes somebody out. You say, well, that's not a storm. That's just words. No, that's a storm in somebody's heart. That's a spiritual storm where they're going, oh, good night. I've had people tell me that when I first got saved. I had two or three people say, well, you know, you can lose it. First thing I thought was, well, if I can lose it, everything Jesus Christ done for me, I'm going to serve Him anyway. And I was like, yeah, I can't lose it. You know what I found out when I really studied the Bible and rightly divided it? I can't lose it. Amen. It's not mine to give away. It's His, and He put me in it.
Amen.
Not only is Jesus Christ my salvation and my foundation, He's my sanctification. He's my glorification. He's my ark. When I got saved, God put me in Christ. And Christ indwells me. And we're woven together for eternity. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Because God laid the foundation. Are you on that foundation? You know, it says, all the ground is sinking sand. There are preachers all over the world. There are people all over the world going to church this morning, and they think, well, you know, if I do good enough, I might be able to get in. If I give enough money to the plate, put enough money in the plate, and if I just support the missionaries, and I pray hard enough, and I maybe abuse myself once in a while, make myself penance, make myself pay for my sins, and maybe if I talk to the guy with the funny collar and the funny hat, and he turns his collar around just right, and he forgives my sins, and maybe I can get through this thing, and maybe if I take the grape juice and the crackers, well, not the grape juice there, it's probably, they take the wine, the real fermented wine and the crackers, and maybe if I do that long enough and I get me a set of beads and I go under the christening of the Church of Christ, and maybe I get sprinkled down at the Methodist Church, and I go through all the catechism stuff, and I do all that, and maybe I'll be good enough to get in, and that's sinking sand. They'll slip off into hell one day and spend an eternity in fire because Jesus Christ is not that foundation. He's the rock. He's the foundation. Well, maybe if I could just, do good enough. I asked a lady here a while back, I said, you know where you're going to go when you leave this place? And I said, not Walmart. I talked to him in Walmart. I said, not Walmart. When you leave this world. She said, oh, I'm going straight to purgatory. It's a lie of the devil. You're going to split hell wide open, and God's going to let you out once, and he's going to tell you why you're there, and he's going to throw you in a lake of fire forever. Well, I'm going to purgatory. She don't have the foundation. You know what she's got? She's got the sinking sand of tradition of man and religion. She doesn't have the foundation. Do you? Oh, I belong to the Baptist church. We're a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching. We almost spit fire like Elijah and Moses halfway through the tribulation. We got it down pat. We rightly divide. I could tell you, everything about the millennial reign. I could tell you Moses and Elijah's here. I could tell you that, 144,000 male Jewish virgins, which aren't Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way, they're over here. And then I could tell you about this. I could tell you about that. I could tell you about the other. I believe the King James authorized AV 1611 Bible. And I'll tell you what, and if you don't trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you'll believe all that stuff and you'll split hell wide open. Because belief in things is not the foundation. It's a belief in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, he shed his blood, he rose again, and he can save you, and you call on him and trust him. That is your foundation. And I'm not taking any shots at the Bible. I believe the book. I love the book. I don't have a doubt in the book's right. I believe every comma, question mark. I believe the book. But just because you believe the book don't mean you're going to heaven. You know what the devil believes? I think he believes this book. I really do. I've read it, and he's read it with me. I got down and prayed over it, and he got down and prayed with me. Amen. I preached it, and he'd be up there preaching at me against it. I've taught it, and him going, sure about that. Are you positive? So I believe the book. I belong to the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, the Catholic church, the Lutheran church. I just joined them all just in case I was wrong somewhere. Well, you're wrong, because that is not the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And if there's never been a time you realize that book says, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you realized all that stuff. You realize he died for your sins and he rose again, and you call on him and say, Lord, forgive me and save me. You're on the wrong foundation. Remember when in the Old Testament, where the snakes were biting people, and they put that brazen serpent on the rod, and they said, look upon that brazen serpent and look and live. We sing a song about it, look and live. You know what? You want to talk about works? The people that didn't look and died were no more guilty than the people that did look.
Right. Amen. Amen. Right.
But because they looked to the cross and looked to the judgment there, they lived. The thief on the cross, you got one on one side, one on the other. They were both guilty. Both just as guilty as the other. But one looked to the Lord and one didn't. What happened? One went to heaven and one went to hell. Eventually, we know today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I know the Lord died first, all that stuff. But you know, let's just be practical about this. One ended up in heaven and one ended up in hell. Amen? Because it's not about your works. You don't die and go to hell. This church age, you don't die and go to hell because you're a murderer or a thief or a liar or an adulterer or a drunk or a drug addict or any of that stuff. You die and go to hell for rejecting the foundation. If you die and go to hell, hey, because you know what? In heaven, there are going to be people that were guilty at one time of murder, of thievery. I'm doing a George Bush thing again. Being a thief. Liars. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Well, Jesus Christ gives you his righteousness. You're not a liar anymore.
Amen.
Amen. There'll be a lot of people in heaven that used to be a lot of things. Paul goes down a list. The list about make you sick to your stomach if you're right with God. Amen. And people doing things they shouldn't have been doing when they were saved. But the difference is looking to the cross. And and getting the right foundation. There are people, hey, talk about surprises at the judgment seat of Christ. There are going to be surprises after that. There will be surprises at the white throne judgment. People sit in a Baptist church and listen to a Baptist preacher preach at gun barrel straight about salvation only being through Jesus Christ. And the devil says, oh, don't tell anybody you're lost. You're not lost. You're all right. You bought the carpet. You did this. You did that. Gives you a list of your good works. You'll be all right. God will let you in. And you're saying, hey, you know in your soul that you got to get saved. And you're going, no. I'll just pass it up. I'll just wait. You stand at the white throne judgment going, but Lord, I was a Baptist. They go, well, you're going to hang out with the Catholics now. The lost ones. Hey, man. You didn't like them when you were on earth, maybe, but you're going to spend eternity with them. What lost ones? You know what he's going to say to some of the Catholics at the white throne, at the judgment seat of Christ? You got the right foundation. When somebody told you Jesus Christ was the answer, you accepted it and called on him. You didn't count on the beads. You didn't count on the wine. You didn't count on the crackers. You didn't count on the pope or the priest or the bishop. You didn't count on a Baptist preacher. You counted on Jesus Christ. You got the right foundation. If you don't have the right foundation, you slip off into hell. Jesus Christ is that foundation. He's the Word of God. He's the power of God. He's the glory of God. He's the Creator. He's from start to finish. But the good news is, if you've started on that foundation, you have no finish. You're going to live forever with him. But if you don't have that foundation when you leave this place, he'll be the finish for you. And you'll spend an eternity in death in a lake of fire, where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. He's the foundation. He's the foundation. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Could you imagine the white throne judgment and people are standing up there, knees shaking and watching people get cast into a lake of fire, and they're going, you're next, calling people's names up, and they're going up there and they bow the knee to God. He cast them into a lake of fire. Next, 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 next. And the angels up there singing, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? And all the people online saying, no, I haven't. Could you imagine that? What's your foundation? For eternity, it better be Jesus Christ. But if you want to glorify him, it needs to be forever. He needs to be the foundation of everything. Of everything. You know what I like about Brother Earl the most? I like Brother Earl. He's just crazy enough to be a good Baptist. But what I really like about Brother Earl is he walks with God. And he's not fake about it. He's really not. I just said, Lord, I need this. I don't know how you're going to do this. My car's junk, and I got to get over here and do this. And he goes, somebody give me a ride or whatever. Or somebody give him a car or loan him a car or whatever. He just walks with God. He just walks with God. Prays all the time. I'm Baptist enough to know that Baptists don't get along with each other. And there are probably some people out there who think he's a nut. Well, he's a good Baptist then, because all of us Baptists are nuts. We're just screwed on the right bolt, amen? Got the right foundation. Got the right foundation. How in the world could a man go around and preach to these churches that don't have any money? He spends his money to go preach at most of the churches he goes to, and God keeps him going. How does he do that? He's got the right foundation. He's got the right foundation. You know how some, you folks, I mean, there are folks in here, I'm in awe of the fact that you're in church all the time. Folks that I know that it takes a lot to get in church. I mean, a lot. Not just getting up and brushing your teeth and starting a car and driving off, but it takes a lot. You go through a day's work to come to church. And I know a lot of husband and wife teams that do that to come to church. But you know why you're able to do that? First of all, you love the Lord. Second of all, you got the right foundation. When you can't be here, you can't. I'm physically, I know people can't be here sometimes. That's just the way it is. But I'm just in awe of what people go through on a regular basis to get a couple hours of worshiping the Lord and praying and bragging on Jesus Christ. when today it'd be so easy to just stay home and watch TV and forget about it. Or listen to the internet preacher and forget about it. Got the right foundation. Are you saved? Have you been born again? You see, you can't lose your church age foundation. See, the folks in the Old Testament weren't born again. They weren't born into the family of God. They were saved and had works involved in it. Saul lost the Holy Spirit and never got it back. He wasn't sealed. He wasn't born again. If you called on Jesus Christ, you're born again. And when you're born into that family, you're in that family. You might be the one the Lord wants to slap around all the time. Amen. That might be me too. But you're in the family. So when the devil comes along and says, well, you probably lost it. So no, I've been born again. Well, whatever. I know you lost it. Well, what about the blood of Jesus Christ where he died once for all? How about this? How about just take it up to the Lord? He gave me a book. Tell the devil, take it up to the Lord. You want to talk to my foundation? Here he is. You give me a book, and that book says I'm saved, and I'm sealed, and I'm set apart for a purpose, and I'm doing the best I can sometimes to live for that purpose. If you're going to glorify God, you're going to do it by making the foundation of every decision that you, letting the foundation be the foundation of your decisions. Amen. Amen. Are you saved? You've been born again? Or are you just religious on sinking sand?